Welcome to the Eat and Elevate podcast. With I'm your host from coast to coast, coaching and collaborating, doing the most, chewing on topics guaranteed to feed, educate and motivate so you succeed. In spirit, soul, and body that supersedes all fears and doubts that the devil brings. And we post it weekly to meet your needs.
With Rhonda. So on this episode today, I wanted to talk to you about my story or my testimony, since that's part of what the podcast is going to be about. I thought it probably is more appropriate for me to tell you my story first, since I'm never going to ask anybody to do anything that I wouldn't myself do first. So, You guys already know I'm from Brooklyn and that sort of thing. So, you know, went to college, came back, moved back to the area where I live now, where I reside now, and was, you know, dating someone and that sort of thing. I mean, we were, you know, hot and heavy for a number of years, about 10 years or so. So the teenage years into the early, you know, young adult years, the early 20s. And so I'm just going to fast forward a little bit. I got saved. My conversion, with the Lord has happened, after, you know, two very, very like difficult times, or, you know, I would say difficult times that happened in my life. Right. So, I got saved, the night before I walked down the aisle and gave my heart to the Lord, as my pastor said. The night before I had been on my way to picking up the guy I was dating at the time. Me and his mother were in the car, and but we, you know, obviously both of us had worked that day. It's late at night. She liked to travel late night hours, like, so that, you know, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning time frame. So I'm pretty tired, but I'm behind the wheel driving. And so I fall asleep at the wheel. And all I know is that once everything was all over, someone had saw the car. What they told me was they saw the car spinning, you know, kind of driving all kind of erratically across several lanes. And back then, they did not have like the little gravel on the shoulder of the highway, like the way they have now, like the little groove thing, which kind of will prevent your car from kind of spinning out kind of crazy. They didn't have that back then. They just had like whatever's on the side of the road, rock and dirt and stuff like that. So the car caught speed. It was like a kind of a mid to large size kind of car back then. And like when it was during the time when cars were still kind of square, more boxy. And so this is before, you know, they kind of smoothed them all out with all of that fiberglass. It was, you know, the cars were still kind of pretty sturdy. So the car is just spinning out of control. And then I wake up, right? And I could see that the car is headed and his mom is on the right side of me. She asleep. But I see that the car is headed towards, you know, like hitting a tree. And so as I see it about to hit the tree, right, my first inclination was to dip, right? Like was to bend down to try to get under the steering wheel or something, like, so that it, you know, whatever was, I mean, it was like a big tree. And I heard a voice say, "Don't bend down, keep your head up." I heard the voice say it clear as day. And it's like all black. There's nobody out on the road. It's like dark. There's no lights. It's just darkness with the lights from the car. I see this tree. And then I hear a voice saying, "Don't bend down. Don't put your head down. Keep your head up." So I'm like, okay, I kept my head up. And the car kind of took flight where it like kind of came slightly off the ground and it kind of was like kind of flung into the tree. When the people came, the police and all of that, and ambulance and all of that came, they had to cut the car or the tree out of the car, right? Or however you can say it. Like they had to kind of pull it out. It was embedded in that tree. And so the grace of God both me and his mother got out. Now, I wasn't supposed to even been driving the car. It was a rental car at that. So I wasn't even supposed to been driving the car. My name wasn't on it. Her name was on it. So she immediately, with her quick thinking, was like, get out the car, get out the car. We got to switch sides before the cops come because you're not even supposed to be driving it. And so, so we switched sides, and when we switched sides, I think, you know, our knees, you know, because we like it's brushes and all of that kind of stuff. So only injury we faced was the little scrapes along our legs from the brushes that were out on the road, right? Like that was out on that side of the road where the tree was. That's the only kind of scratches we faced. We didn't have whiplash. She didn't have whiplash. Didn't have no aches or pains, none of that. We didn't have to go to no hospital, nothing. But they had to cut the car out of this tree. It was embedded in the tree, the glass shattered, all kinds of, you know, like if you can imagine, the windshield shattered, glass is shattered. We had virtually no, and I think we might have gotten a couple of cuts from, you know, from the, with the glass too, but not, it was like more scrapes than anything. It wasn't anything major. It wasn't like blood was gushing out of either of us. And so the next day when we got back to the area, I was just thinking about the fact that I could have been dead. Right. Like the way that the witnesses was telling how the car was moving, they were like, we had to come see because we just knew, you know, somebody was going to end up dead. And because we saw how the car was moving all across the road because they were on the other side and they saw it. It was hardly any cars out at that time. And so that whole night, that morning when we go to church or what have you, because this is a Saturday night when the accident happens, Sunday morning when we go to church, my mind is just like thinking about, I could have been dead. I could have, not only could I be dead, I could have killed this dude's mom. She could be dead. I could be behind bars facing charges, you know, for vehicular manslaughter or whatever they call it. I don't know. If somebody dies inside the car that you were driving, I don't even know what that's called, but that's what I thought could have happened to me. So I just was like, thanking God. I was at church, thanking God. I was crying mostly that day, but thanking the Lord. And so when at the end of the service, when the pastor said, you know, and does anybody want to come and give their life to the Lord? I was like, oh, me, absolutely. I got to give my life to the Lord. So I just immediately got up, walked down the aisle. I can't even remember if other people walked down the aisle too, but I know I was just so grateful to God and that I didn't know God, you know, at the time, I didn't know Jesus didn't have, you know, Holy Spirit, none of that. And to hear a voice that said, don't put your head down. I don't know what would have happened had I put my head down. I'm assuming I probably would have died because I clearly heard the voice say, don't put your head down. Keep your head up. Now his mom had her seat reclined back. So she was kind of in a comfortable position laying down, which is why she didn't have whiplash, didn't have no back pains, nothing. Nothing was bothering her. And so that was when I got saved. So then I get saved, walk down the aisle, you know, put my heart in the hands of the Lord to the best of my ability at that time. I was in my early 20s of what I knew. And so then I just began to, you know, try to, you know, read and learn whatever I could. Right. But then later on, so now I'm still in this relationship with this guy, right? So we have been, like I said, we off and on relationship for about 10 years. So in this time frame, I'm like in my early 20s, like 20, maybe 20, 21, 22, maybe something like that. And we didn't ultimately break up until I was about 26, I think, 25, 26. So, you know, we're still in a relationship. So, you know, but now I'm feeling the pull of, didn't know what fornication was. And, you know, so when I would hear people say, you know, you shouldn't be fornicating, I had no clue what they was talking about. So me and this dude, we still bumping bellies and all of that. Right. I don't even know if my family, if any of my family is listening to this, I don't even know if y'all even know any of this story. Right. Any of my story, my conversion story. So I hope you don't look at me no different after you hear all of this. So, so we still bumping bellies and all of that. And I remember him saying, you know, what's probably going to happen with you is one day you probably going to become a pastor or something, a minister or something. I was like, I don't know none of what you're talking about, but I know that, what God did for me and that he spared my life that night. And so I have to make a commitment to him. But I'm still living the same way, really still doing different things, right? Like I'm still, you know, hanging out with friends and doing whatever, right? And so then our relationship became very, very volatile. It was very, very violent. I can even say it that way. It was a violent relationship. He and I would fight a lot. I mean, and not just with words. We would put, you know, it would be with hands. And so my mother and brother raised me that if somebody put their hands on you, you put your hands on them. And then my mother taught me how to fight. You know, my brother even taught me how to fight, right? And so I wasn't like, I never felt like I was in an abusive relationship because we were standing, I was going toe to toe with this dude. He'd swing on me, I swing back on him. And we would do that. And then we would have like this honeymoon period wherein now we all lovey-dovey. He buying me whatever I want, spending all kinds of money on me, taking me all kinds of places. I mean, we did a lot of stuff. We enjoyed our 20-year-old little life to the best of our ability with what the money we had. And I never had to spend money. He lavished me. And so anything I want, he would just hand over his wallet. That's how he rolled. And whatever I wanted, I could get. And so we having all of these, but, you know, on the flip side, we having all of these fights and things all the time. And I remember one day we driving down the road and me and him got into an argument about, and I can't quite remember what the argument was, but he open hand, like slapped me in the face so hard that I couldn't hear out of my ear. And I was like pissed because I'm behind the wheel driving and he did it. Right. And so I'm like trying to, one, realize what in the world just happened. And two, I can't hear out of that ear, out of this right, out of my right ear. So then I pull the car over and I'm cussing him out. I'm calling him all kinds of stuff. I'm trying to smack him down, put hands on him. So we were actually headed to, I think, to stay at a hotel somewhere. I don't know. I can't remember where we was going, but we were staying at a hotel. Right. So we get to the hotel. Right. And I'm pissed. I'm angry. I mean, I'm crying, but it's more cries of anger than it is because I'm hurt. I want to like literally knock this dude on his behind. Seriously. And I'm still pissed, but then I'm also like this soul tie where I still kind of, you know, I've been with this dude for a really long time. So I'm still kind of like loving on him as well. Love him and hate him at the same time. And I know ladies, fellas, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So loving and hating him all at the same time. But then in the midst of that, he pulls out like a diamond tennis bracelet, gives me this very nice tennis bracelet. But so I'm looking at the bracelet, but I'm also like, I can't even hear out of my ear because you hit me. Like, what made you, like, what's going on with you? And he was one of these jealous types, right? Very insecure, jealous types. And for no reason, just would, you know, go off and have these little, you know, fits. I think we were talking about something like he used to accuse me all the time of cheating on him. And at this time, I never cheated on him. I wasn't cheating on him at all. It wasn't until later on in the relationship that I started because he kept accusing me of it. And I was like, well, if we're going to have an argument about it, at least I'm going to have the satisfaction of saying, yep, in my mind of knowing, yep, I did do that. So now this argument is valid. But before, when we would get into these arguments, I'm like, I never cheated on you. I never said nothing. I'm the faithful chick. I'm the chick that you put me in a room full of dudes. I'm going to be telling you about my dude. You know, I ain't going to be like trying to check out the next one. No, I'm good with what I have. And I'm not looking for anything else. I'm good. You know, because it's one of those things, you know, you stay with the devil, you know, versus the devil, you don't. Right. You know, so It's and I don't know if that's the right analogy. In fact, I'm gonna scratch that. I ain't trying to be with no devil at all. So forget that statement. I'm sorry. And so, but he and I, you know, had this love kind of hate kind of volatile relationship. So then, you know, ultimately at some point, you know, we do end up breaking up. But again, the soul tie is so strong that it was hard to get him out of my system. After, you know, and so the Lord actually had to break us up, had to break this relationship up. I remember one time me and him got into a fist, you know, kind of an altercation at his house, and we going back and forth with hands. And I heard again a voice say, and I know it was the voice of the Lord, but I heard that voice say, somebody's going to end up dead and it might be you. Right then and there, I said, hold up. So right, I started backing myself out of this relationship in a certain kind of way, whereas I wasn't spending as much time with him. But also, at the same time, I still have this soul tie. So my body is still craving him, right? If y'all know what I'm talking about, my body is still craving him, but I don't really want to be with him. I don't like him like that. Right. So it was like a crazy thing. You know how those soul ties work. And in another episode at another time, we'll talk more about soul ties. But so having all of this, you know, this kind of crazy thing happening. So and when I heard that voice, I was just like, OK, now this is now that's too much now. I don't want to die off of this. Right. So we eventually break up. But during that time, my grandmother, I believe, was dying. Right. She had had dementia. She had had a stroke and then had dementia. So she is dying of what I now know she was dying. And then but my mother had been already, you know, dealing with a terminal illness. And back when she, you know, years prior, they had told her she only had 6 months to live. She ended up living six more years. But during this time, my mother later died that following year, though. When all of this is going on. But then at the same time, all of my friends had moved away. So the people that I was closest with gone, you know, and then I felt like kind of like an alien in my own family. I felt very, very alone. And so people used to, you know, I used to hear people talk about hell and, you know, it's a party in hell and it's this, that, and the hell. And then I heard a teacher, I think, has shared this at church. She said, no, hell is not a party. In fact, it's like the place of total, total separation where you feel like there's nothing. Nobody's around. You don't feel God. You feel nothing. So in my life, I was feeling like that. I felt total, total separation. Like I didn't feel like I had a connection with my family that was in the area. I could not call my mother and tell her any of what I was going through because she had her own health challenges and I wasn't going to burden her like that. I didn't feel comfortable telling my brother about it because I thought my brother would probably come down here and try to kill this dude that put me in this spot. So I didn't even tell him, right? And then my friends moved. I mean, when I say they moved, one went back to her hometown and then one moved to the West Coast. Those was my two like apple scrapples, right? And both of them are gone. So I'm like literally by myself. So I contemplated killing myself every day. I mean, when I woke up, I thought about killing myself. Forgive me if I get emotional. But I woke up wanting to kill myself. I wasn't eating. I barely was eating. I wasn't really eating anything. And when I would eat, I was in a total state of depression. And when I would eat, I would go to Baskin Robbins. It was a Baskin Robbins in the neighborhood where I lived. I would go, so I wouldn't eat all day at work. I would go to work, go through the motions. People at work knew something was wrong, but they thought it was just because my mother and grandmother were dying. You know, we're sick. Well, my grandmother was dying because she was in a nursing home. And then and they already knew about the situation with my mother. So they just assumed it was because of that. They didn't ask me a lot of questions. They saw that I was sad. They gave me my space. Didn't bother me. My job, you know, I was in human resources. And so they just, you know, they just let me do me, come to work, look sad. I would get up from my desk throughout the day and would just go in the bathroom and cry. And I learned how to muffle the cry so nobody could hear me. But I would cry. I would just cry uncontrollably. And so on my way home from work, because I worked, I had a nice little commute every day from where I worked to getting back home to my neighborhood. And so on the ride into work, and it's probably about an hour's ride in traffic, I'm crying. I am contemplating. I just wish. And here's the thoughts that I would have. I just wish I could go find some a piece of dirt, dig it up, get a shovel, dig it up, and then jump in that hole full on, you know, and have somebody standing out there that can just take the dirt and just cover the dirt over me and until it snuffs out the life out of me. So I would have that thought every day. Oh man, I just wish I could just, this could be done. I don't have to feel this anymore. Then I thought about, cause I'm not a real, you know, I'm not a pill taker, but I thought about it. I thought about getting pills. then I was like, well, I'm not a big pill taker, so that it would probably be hard for me even to swallow them, right? So then I thought about, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll just drive recklessly in my car and hit a barricade and I die that way. These were the thoughts that I was having, serious suicidal ideation. And so then I recall one day, it was like a weekend, me and my dad happened to be together, and I don't even know why we were together, but we happened to be together. And my dad was like, hey, you know, we all are going to Ricky's wedding. That's one of my cousins that I had not seen in a very, very long time. He was like, we're going to Ricky's wedding. Well, why don't you come? And I was like, Ricky, I ain't seen or talked to Ricky in forever. Ricky probably don't even remember me. And I was like, and plus he didn't invite me to his wedding. So no, I'm not going. He was like, we family. Everybody's family. Family is always welcome. So come on and go. And my dad didn't know any of what was going on with me. Me and my dad wasn't quite in the right place back then. Not where we are today, right? And so I, like I said, I felt like an alien and a stranger on an island by myself. And so, but my dad said, come on, you know, change your clothes and come to this wedding. You know, you could come to the wedding with me, with Ricky's wedding. And so I go, I see my family there and all of that, sitting with them. And so they do their nuptials, very nice wedding. By this time, I had not been to very many weddings, but his was a fairly nice one. And so, but at the end of them exchanging vows, the pastor had said, you know, like Ricky and his wife, you know, they want to, Ricky and Deja is her name, they want to do something a little different. They want to do like an altar call. So the pastor began, he stood up and he began saying all of these things. And it was like he was reading my mail. He was like, yeah, and I know you're feeling like you're all alone and nobody is around you and nobody's there for you, but God sees you. And you've even contemplated killing yourself. I mean, he read my mail. You hear what I'm saying? And so he was like, now, if that's you, you know, like, and he just was saying all these things and just saying, yeah, and the Lord loves you and the Lord wants you and the Lord wants you to come, you know, come to him and all that will come back to him and all of these things. So after the end, he was like, and if that's you, I want you to stand up. Now I stood up, I felt myself just rise up. Right. And I could sense that my family was looking at me like, why is she standing up? She's been going to church, you know, and that sort of thing. I stood up and another girl stood up. It was two of us that stood up. And now I don't know whatever happened to her, but I know for me, I got born again. The Lord used my cousin, who I have not seen since. I hadn't seen him since we were like little kids. I'm talking about 10, 11 years old. And now I'm in my 20s, you know, and he was slightly older than me. So I had not seen him in all that time. Right. And so the Lord used my cousin's wedding. Y'all here understand what I'm saying? Use my cousin's wedding to bring me into relationship with him, to save my life. I mean, I got born again. I mean, and when I tell you my conversion, you know, story, like things started, were different. I knew something was different. I started, you know, I didn't know a whole lot, but I had grabbed the Bible that I had. And I was like saying to God, I don't know anything, but because you saved me and because you allowed me to still be here, whatever you want from me, I'll give it to you. Whatever you quit asking me, I'm going to do it because you love me that much. And so I didn't fully know what I was saying at that moment, but it was out of the sincerity and the pureness of my heart and the purity of my heart. And so I got born again at a wedding, at my cousin's wedding. And then I just started, you know, I had a Bible. Now I didn't quite understand, you know, I had a King James Bible, if I recall correctly, and I didn't quite understand all of what I was reading, but I would try to read it. And then at some point, somebody introduced me to the New King James Version Bible that took out all of the thous and the thes, you know, because I couldn't quite understand when it says thou, what is that talking about, me or you? Is that talking thine? I didn't understand the thine, the thou, and the thee. I didn't quite get it while I was reading. But the New King James Version doesn't use it like that. It says you, me, I, you know, it says it in those terms that of what I could understand, right? And so I started reading that Bible. And then I would go down to, you know, to the monument, down to the mall, and I would take my Bible and I would just read it. And I would say, Lord, teach me your word. You're the master. You said, you talk to me on two occasions now. Tell me what this is all about. Talk to me about your word. He just began to teach me. He began to teach me use looking at people, just doing people watching. Because while I'm out there at the mall, I'm, you know, I would read a little bit and I would sit there and think about what I just read. And he would talk to me. And then he would teach me lessons using people, kids running around, using the squirrels, watching the squirrels, looking at trees. I mean, so when we think that, you know, we are a part, you know, God is this big God way out there and we these little people way down here. No, he is so real. He is such a great God. And so I would do that regularly. And I would just spend time reading that word, reading the Bible, getting an understanding. And then I started having questions. And then I started asking him, well, I don't understand. This says this. What does that mean? And he would give me explanation. I would turn on the radio and somebody would be talking about it. And then back then there was this lady. Her name was Liz Perrin. She had like a service that would come on Sunday afternoons. Like after I went to church, she would come on and she was so real. I mean, she talked real down to earth to you, you know, like she was like your auntie. She talked so real that I would watch her every Sunday and she taught me so much. Like the questions that I was having, sometimes the Lord would use her to answer it. But then sometimes the Lord would just take me through different, you know, read this, having me go all over the Bible and reading. And then because I'm inquisitive, right, I would go then and look up other things about, you know, about whatever it was I was reading to understand like the time and that sort of thing. But so my conversion, you know, happened, you know, I had a two-part, you know, kind of conversion where I got saved. You know, like I walked down the aisle and I gave my heart to the Lord after having that car accident because the Lord did spare my life. I felt like he rescued me, you know, which is what salvation is. But then I got born again, you know, where I was completely converted, wherein, you know, I started seeing things differently. I mean, literally, during this time, I turned off all secular everything. I got to the place where I didn't want to go to no clubs no more. Because really going to the club to me was, I kind of got tired of it anyway. So the Lord didn't really have to take that from me too much because I was already kind of tired of it. You know, getting all dressed up, getting our hair done, getting all done up and everything. Just to go into a place where they smoking and to get in my hair. And I hate cigarette smoke. So to have that in my clothes and in my hair, I hated it. Then I would see the same old Johns, you know, for my Philly people. I would see them same old Johns at every club. Every club I went to, I see the same people. I was like, this joint is whack. You know, you see the same people. They play the same music. And it wasn't, I mean, you know, here in this area, they big on go-go. I don't like go-go music. And then just to hear, I mean, one song is cool, but when you got like a row of like 10 songs and all you hear is like a boom, boom, boom. Who want to hear? I don't want to hear that all night. You know what I'm saying? And so I was already kind of tired of that. So some stuff began, I was ready for it to fall off. And so God just helped it to fall off a lot easier, a lot smoother. But during that time, because of where I was, my mom now had passed, right? And then my grandmother had already passed away as well. So two deaths. I have no friends. I done lost the relationship with this dude that I had who had taken what I felt like was my best years, right? From my late teens into my late 20s, right? Like, so I felt like he took my best years and that relationship took my best years. And I'm like, yo, I just stopped listening to all secular music as well, because I needed something that was going to, stimulate me, that was going to like edify me is the word I'm looking for, that was going to strengthen me because I was so weakened. You know, so I didn't really even want to hear like, so, you know, and during this time, just to let you know, this is when Destiny's Child came on the scene. I had missed all of that. I had missed Destiny's Child. What was the other group? All of those groups, I guess, that was out during that time. I missed that whole series. that whole season. And it was some good music at that time, to be honest. Back, you know, for back then, it was some pretty good music that had came out. But I, you know, like the Mayas and Destiny Child, and I recall some of it, but for the most part, you know, I had missed a lot of that, right? And so like the whole Jadakiss and all, I had missed a lot of that. And then, you know, like the whole, the Dirty South rappers, which I don't really like Dirty South rappers to begin with. I'm a New York rap. I like New York rap. So, but this is already after Biggie had, you know, the situation happened with Biggie where he's gone. So, But I stopped listening to secular music altogether and started listening to music that was edifying my spirit, edifying my soul. And so I jumped headlong into Yolanda Adams, Fred Hammond. I listened to Fred Hammond all the time. His stuff back in the day, I don't know what he's doing now, but his stuff back in the day, oh my goodness. Ministry, it was anointed. It was so powerful. Every song would bring you to tears. You know, and listen to him, listen to John P. Key, a little bit of Kirk Franklin. This is before, during the time, right before Kirk Franklin had that bad accident. So this is like the stomp, you know, with the God's Property. I love that God's Property. I used to listen to that God's Property CD every day as well. And so my conversion period was a little was in two parts. So sometimes, you know, like some people may, you know, all in one shot, they come to the Lord and they start, you know, life changes and they become brand new. Cause the Bible does says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. That didn't happen until I got born again. And Jesus says in John chapter 3, I want to say it's around like seven, John chapter 3, verse 7, or it could be, yeah, somewhere in there where he says, where Jesus says, you must be born again. That which is of the flesh is of the flesh, but that which is of the spirit is of the spirit. You must be born of the water and the spirit. And so that's talking about being born again. You know, so we must be born again. Why? Because Jesus said so. He said, he first says it this way, you will not see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Then maybe a couple of scriptures past that one, he says, you will not inherit the kingdom of God unless you be born again. Think about that. You know, like, so first you can't even see it, you know, and then you won't even inherit it. And what is an inheritance? It's something that's like generally most inheritances are something freely given. You ain't even got to work for that. If you in the natural, right, you go to the lawyer's office, they sit down and they say, oh, yeah, your loved one left you an inheritance. You ain't have to do nothing for it. You just walk into you are just a beneficiary of something great coming to you without having to do nothing. And Jesus said, unless you be born again, you can't even inherit the kingdom of God. So, you know, when I think about conversion, I kind of think about it from the standpoint of like, you know, how when you're going on a trip to out of the country to another place and you have to convert your currency, right? And so you take in your U.S. dollars if you're in the United States, for those of you that are in the United States. So you take your U.S. dollars, or you know, you may go to an exchange place here in America, or you may wait till when you get to that country. But so then you then exchange your U.S. dollars, your currency that you have, and you get the currency of that particular country to use, right? So you're not getting you're not converting what you have and getting the same thing back. No, you convert what you have and you're getting something different. That's how it works in the kingdom too. That's how it works with us when we are converted. So, you know, like you should be different. Like, so you should be exchanging who you are currently, and then because you're getting converted and it's all done supernaturally, you know, but you get converted and you now are operating a totally different way. So I would, you know, ask that if you feel like you're a Christian, you're in Christ, but yet there's nothing different about you. Like from when you came to Christ to however long you've been in Christ, because a lot of people will equate going to church with being in Christ, and they're just not the same. You are no more a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, learning and studying what he did. Because you're a follower, you're trying to follow after what he does, not what the world is doing. Right. So now there is no, you know, like you are no more a Christian by going to church, quote unquote, every Sunday or every Tuesday or Wednesday, or however often you go to church, or even, you know, you're no more in Christ by you, you know, doing church and good religious activities than by you brushing your teeth every day would make you a dentist. We brush our teeth every day, but none of us are dentists. We're not a dentist. We don't know all of that, right? We know how to brush our teeth and that's it. So anything that you do, you know, I'm trying to drive home the point here that it's not the same. You can go to church all your life, you know, however long you've been alive to do that. You can go to church all your life. There's plenty of people go to church every day who will never see the kingdom of God and who will never inherit the kingdom of God, because it's not about activity. It's not about you doing an act of that with your heart. Nothing about you has been converted. You didn't convert. You didn't exchange what you were for now who he's created you to be. You never did that. You went to church, walked, you may have went to church, walked down the aisle, however you, whenever you did the, what they call the sinner's prayer, right? And now you prayed this, but then nothing. I mean, you still was doing the same old stuff. Nothing really happened. And so really God is not like this bully. You know, Jesus is not this bully where he's going to put, you know, a nod up to your head and say, oh no, you going to serve me. No, he's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He's not going where he's tolerated. He's going where he's celebrated. And because of your free will, you have to willingly make a choice, make a decision to do something different, to go a different way. But I tell you this, that one thing's for sure, two things for certain. Anybody that's been born again, you can tell, you'll know. It's identifiable. You know it. It's without a doubt. You know that they're different. There's nobody that came in contact with Jesus that remained the same. Not one person, not one. And it did not just apply during the time when he walked on the earth. It applies to all of us today. When you come in contact with a living, holy Jesus, God, the Son, as well as God, the Father and Holy Spirit, you're going to change. You're going to be different. Things are going to start to drop off for you. And because what it is that you want to be, you know, the world, the things of the world, this carnality, this carnal nature, you know, this fleshly nature of it wanting everything that it wants, certain things will start to just fall off of you. The way you talk, the way you move, it's going to be different. It is. It just is. And it's nothing that you got to, you know, like be fighting, strive, you know, to do. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Some stuff is going to fall off of you. Some stuff you're going to have to willingly let go. And then some stuff that the Lord knows just where you are and what you need, he's going to take some things off of you. And you're going to be like, wow, you're going to feel like a whole new person. In fact, you are going to be a new person. They're going to be able to say, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, such and such, how she was rocking or how he was rolling back then. But he different now. You ain't got to tell them, oh, yeah, you ain't got to be out here like, oh, yeah, I got saved. I got born again. You ain't got to do that because they're going to see it. In fact, you don't want to be doing that. You want it to be evidenced in who you are. You know, how you used to blow up on things. You don't do that no more. You're a little bit more patient. You give people more grace because you recognize God has been gracious and has given you grace. So you ain't just out here like flying off the handle with your mouth and coming at people kind of slick all the time. You're not doing that. You ain't getting upset and wanting to throw up hands all the time because you know what you've been saved from. You know that you've been born again. And so I just wanted to share with you all my testimony and my story. You'll probably hear more of my story. I have no problems with being transparent because I pray that whatever I share with you, that it would help you, that it would encourage you, to let you know you can do this. You can do this, you know, the Lord wants your heart. He wants a relationship with you, but he ain't going to force himself on you. He is not some, you know, child. He's not some molester. He's not some pervert. He is not going to force himself on you. He wants you to willingly come to him, and his arms are wide open, waiting for you to embrace, to come to him and embrace him. And embrace him. Sometimes, you know, the Lord, you know, his eyes go to and fro throughout the entire earth. Nothing is kept from his eyes. He sees everything. Nothing is withheld from his eyes. He sees it all, right? And so sometimes the Lord will allow situations, not that he necessarily put them on you, brought them, because we live in a fallen world and bad things happen. And bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen because we are in a fallen world, right? And so sometimes, though, the Lord will allow things to happen in our lives, and that will drive us to our knees. We at our lowest point, drive us to our knees so that we would then look up and ask him for his help. And so if this is you, I don't know if any of this is resonating with any of y'all, but I pray it is. But if you have been trying everything and not getting, and I feel empty, it ain't nothing working for you, ain't nothing coming together for you. You feel like you like that lab rat on that wheel just going round and round and round and round. May I suggest to you, my brother, may I suggest to you, my sister, come into the fold and receive the Lord's loving embrace. He wants to do a new work in you. And he already has it written down. He's just waiting for you to come and say, I want it. I want it. So if that's you, say, I want it. Say, I want it. Say, I want it, Lord. I want you, Lord. I want you, Lord. And I guarantee you just start paying attention. He's going to come. He's going to come. So thank you guys for listening to this episode of Eat and Elevate with Rhonda. I pray it blesses you. And so let me speak this blessing over your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you his peace, his shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. God bless.